I'm Noam Chomsky. I'm a retired professor at MIT.
Today we're going to be talking a little bit about Nelson Mandela. It seems like the entire world is mourning his death, South African freedom fighter and politician Nelson Mandela, who died December 5th at the age of 95, near the latter half of his life, and now since his death he has been lauded as a saint. The Atlantic recently published a piece that compared him actually to Jesus Christ. Taking a step back from all of that, can you talk a little bit about Mandela as a complex and even controversial figure?
Well, he was an extremely significant individual, one of the most respectable, well-known people of the modern period, I think, because, you know, he spent 27 years in jail. He has been on the U.S. Terrorist list until about 5 years ago, when he was finally taken off by a special act of Congress. He was condemned by the U.S. government in 1988 as one of the more notorious terrorists in the world. So, controversial, if you like. The struggle against apartheid, for which he became the leading symbol, was a major event of 20th century history. There are many things that are controversial. One was, one and remains, the legacy that he leaves. His great achievement after he was released from prison was to kind of engineer the ending of the horrendous apartheid regime. But this was done through a kind of a compromise which guaranteed that the basic socioeconomic system would remain. It's a system of extreme exploitation and deprivation of the huge black majority. That remains. The difference is that now the to put it kind of not so metaphorically, there are black faces in the limousines, but they're still the teeming, hideous slums in Johannesburg, outside of Cape Town and elsewhere in the rural areas. And for black Africans, it's certainly lifting the curse of apartheid is a great achievement for all of them, simply in giving people dignity and respect. But in the objective conditions of their lives, not a lot has changed for the great majority. In fact, in many ways worse. The major mining strikes just a couple of months ago are symbolic in that they were opposed to the African National Congress leadership. So that's a kind of a mixed legacy. That's not a criticism of Mandela, but it's probably the best that could be achieved. But it was achieved by a compromise with the oppressors, in which a segment of the oppressed population was able to join in the oppressing class, and the rest did gain a measure of dignity and self-respect, which is nothing to be laughed at. It's very significant.
Okay, so taking that mixed legacy, as you said, into consideration, how has, or what has been the role of mass media in creating the image of Mandela that we see today? And what I'm referring to more specifically is this sort of incredible, sweeping, absolute media praise of Mandela, and maybe what are the implications and potential dangers of this absolute nature?
Well, first of all, this is pretty normal. The veneration of selected leaders sometimes reaches astonishing levels. We're seeing it right now at the 50th anniversary of John F. Kennedy's assassination. There's also a Camelot cult that's been developed, which is, of this magnificent human being cut down when he was planning to do all kind of wonderful things. Virtually no basis for any of it. The most extreme recent example was the Ronald Reagan cult. When Reagan left office, he was not a particularly popular president, but a huge propaganda effort was undertaken called the Reagan Legacy, which turned him into a creature much larger than life. You can't go to any place in the United States without a Reagan airport, a Reagan post office, a Reagan this and that. And when he died, the memorial had a Kim Il Sung style to it. I mean, the man was a brutal, vulgar, racist, a murderer, had a horrible record, turned into also a kind of a saint. Now, this goes way back. I mean, there was, at the early days of the country, there was a George Washington cult, which was equally ludicrous. Washington was a human being beyond the normal reach. He was a noble Roman. All kind of tales were concocted about his wonderful deeds. In fact, right now in the Capitol building in Washington, you can still see a statue of Washington, must have been around the 1830s, in which he's presented as a Roman god, wearing a toga and so on and so forth. And there was some criticism of it at the time. The criticism was not the depiction of this amazing superhuman creature, but the fact that the toga left one of his shoulders bare, and that might be a sign of disrespect. So this goes on all the time. In the case of Mandela, it's a person who does deserve enormous respect and admiration, but kind of effort to raise individuals to a level of sainthood, extricating them from what they actually achieved, and in fact suppressing a lot of what they achieved, this is very common. Actually, another one's Martin Luther King. A king is now venerated, but a large part of his life is blacked out. In fact, just about everything that he did after the famous I Have a Dream speech, when his concerns turned to class issues and turned toward the North, towards creating a party of the poor, towards ending the war in Vietnam, and so on. At that point, mainstream liberal opinion turned against him, and that crucial part of his life leading to the day of his assassination is mostly blanked out of the official history. In the case of Mandela, what's kept quite quiet is the fact that the Reagan administration strongly supported apartheid till virtually the very end. In fact, Reagan himself had to tried to veto congressional resolutions against South Africa when they were passed over his veto. He evaded them so that trade with South Africa increased. Reagan supported the South African depredations in the neighboring countries that probably left over 1 million people killed. And as I mentioned, Mandela himself, his African National Congress, was designated one of the more notorious terrorist groups in the world. And that was that went on right up till the second Bush administration, when it took a special act of Congress to get him off the terrorist list. Tells you a lot about the United States, but that part is downplayed and, in fact, virtually ignored in the depiction of the sainthood of this great figure.
So then from there, how can, looking more completely at Mandela as this complex figure and what this tells us about the United States, how can Mandela's legacy help us go forward in combating present-day apartheid and colonialism throughout the world?
Mandela, like King, was not just opposed to racial discrimination, but to class exploitation, to racism generally. He was a very strong supporter of Palestinian rights. He wanted to free Africans to live decent, honorable lives, not to be subjected to the terrible assault, neoliberal assault on the population, which continues. All of that is a Christian, and that's very much like King, with his Martin Luther King toward the end of his life. And in fact, the day before his assassination, was in Memphis, Tennessee, supporting a strike of public workers, sanitation workers, planning to lead a march to Washington from Memphis, which would be to establish a party of the poor to fight class oppression. He was killed. His march was led by his widow, Coretta King. Got to Washington, put up a tent city, appealed to Congress to pass legislation dealing with the terrible problems of poverty, of lack of housing, and so on. They were allowed to stay there for a little while, and then the police were sent in the middle of the night and knocked down the city, tent city, drove them out of Washington. That's part of the legacy that we should bear in mind. As soon as it turned to class issues, the nobility of the hero disappeared. And that's the same with Mandela, and that expresses a very clear message to us. These are the crucial issues.
Okay. All right. We're just about out of time. Thank you so much for speaking with us today. Yeah.